Joseph Kony had been terrorizing Central Africa for over 2 decades, killing more than 100,000 people, abducting 30,000 children, and turning them into weapons of war. Governments stumbled, international organizations debated, the UN peacekeepers, despite their numbers, seemed paralyzed. And then there was Shannon Sedgwick Davis, a mother from Texas who decided she'd had enough. Not a soldier, not a diplomat, just a woman who read a report about massacred children while rocking her newborn son and thought, someone has to do something. So she did. She assembled an unlikely coalition of military contractors, humanitarian workers, and private funders to do what the world's most powerful institutions couldn't or wouldn't. What followed was a years-long mission that challenged every assumption about who gets to fight for justice and what's possible when ordinary people refuse to accept the unacceptable. Picture waking up to find your village surrounded by child soldiers wielding machetes. This was daily life across 4 African nations under the Lord's Resistance Army. The LRA didn't fight for territory or ideology. They existed to terrorize, abducting children and forcing them to commit atrocities against their own communities. During the 2008 Christmas massacres, rebels bound victims with bicycle tire strips before crushing their skulls, shot off children's legs, and turned abducted girls into sex slaves. The international response? 16,000 UN peacekeepers in Congo, with only 200 where the LRA operated. 50 villages left unprotected. During a Bridgeway Foundation board meeting, Shannon confronted the reality. We're just putting band-aids on bullet holes. They could either change their mission or commit to stopping the violence. On paper, stopping the LRA should have been straightforward. Everyone agreed they were evil. But nobody knew where Kony was hiding. Attacks were reported too late, and Washington prioritized political viability over action.
David Osidi was 16 when rebels torched his displacement camp and forced an impossible choice. Which parent did he love most? When he answered, "My father," the commander ordered all fathers beaten to death. Then they marched the children into darkness. The LRA's strategy was diabolical. Abduct children, force them to commit atrocities, then send them home knowing they'd be rejected as monsters. David carried a 40-pound salt pack through mud as punishment for refusing to kill another boy. Later, he participated in village raids himself. His sensitivity gradually numbed. After 6 months, David escaped by following the brightest star his grandmother taught him about, the one that guides lost hunters home. He ran for 4 days, leaving behind his friend Maxwell, who'd been shot trying to escape. When David reached his village, strangers lived in his mother's hut. He was free, but marked forever. Shannon's proposal was audacious. Help Uganda's military capture Kony by providing training, intelligence, and resources that governments wouldn't fund. She established non-negotiable terms. No inflated fees, proper vetting to prevent human rights abuses, and preferably hiring an African company. Contractors scoffed, saying no one would accept such terms for less than $25 million. Then she met Eben Barlow, a former apartheid-era soldier who agreed to everything. "I'm African," he said, "and Africans are the solution to Africa's problems." Camp Bondo became the training ground for Uganda's Special Operations Group. 136 soldiers learned navigation, tracking, contact drills, and human rights alongside tactical maneuvers. They practiced pseudo-operations, disguising themselves as traitors or even LRA members to get close to targets. Around evening campfires, trainers and soldiers debated whether Kony was delusional or simply fed off fear and power. When Shannon addressed the graduates, emotion overwhelmed her. These men were willing to risk everything to stop a nightmare the world had ignored. Deployed across 3 countries, they tracked through jungle that had hidden the LRA for decades, searching for signs across 360,000 square kilometers where malaria, constrictor snakes, and safari ants posed constant threats. Intelligence pinpointed Kony at Camp Merlin grass-thatched huts near water. The Special Operations Group built replica huts and rehearsed a night assault from one decisive strike. But surveillance revealed an empty camp. Like 2008, Kony had been tipped off. Troops found only abandoned huts and fields of pumpkins, marijuana, and opium. The devastation nearly ended the mission. Resources were depleted, and a coup had forced U.S. Special Forces to abandon their base. They pivoted, target key commanders to isolate Kony rather than hunt him directly. They combined military pursuit with defection messaging, countering Kony's propaganda about poisoned amnesty and spiritual retribution. Captain Charles's team tracked Okot Ogiambo, one of Kony's top commanders. Though the battle seemed inconclusive, radio intercepts revealed a big man wounded, and Ogiambo's call sign vanished. 18 months later, D&A confirmed his remains. The snake was losing its body piece by piece. The breakthrough came through human connection. When Lieutenant Colonel Okello Okuti led 19 people out in late 2013, he immediately recorded a message for those still captive. Think about the value of your life and come back home. This sparked a new strategy, broadcasting personalized defection messages into the jungle, targeting specific commanders by name. David Ositi began tracing families of potential defectors. When he found one commander's mother, her message was heartbreakingly simple: Dwag Pako, come home. After weeks of broadcasting, Opio Sam escaped after 24 years. Before even changing from his dirty fatigues, he volunteered to record his own message. The reunions required profound healing. Communities gathered for Mato o Put, a cleansing ritual where victims and perpetrators drink bitter root tea together, acknowledging shared pain and releasing guilt. This wasn't just legal amnesty, it was spiritual healing. David experienced this need firsthand when classmates treated him as contaminated. One boy confronted him, "You were in the group that killed my dad." The LRA had deliberately pushed children to the front during attacks, ensuring communities would identify them as perpetrators. David refused to hide. He started peace clubs that spread across northern Uganda, teaching forgiveness and transforming pain into compassion. In January 2015, Dominic Ongwen, the last ICC indictee besides Kony still in the bush, walked out disguised as a cattle herder, becoming the first indicted LRA leader to face accountability at The Hague. Shortly after, seven LRA combatants attempted the first ever assassination of Kony from within. Though unsuccessful, they surrendered, reducing Kony's group to just 16 fighters. The numbers told Shannon's story. Civilian killings dropped from nearly 800 the year before deployment to just 13. When the last helicopter pulled out in June 2015, Shannon had her first uninterrupted sleep in 5 years. She showed her son Connor the tiny camouflage uniform worn by a rescued child soldier, tangible proof that hundreds of children were now free. Joseph Kony remains free, but his reign of terror has ended. Northern Uganda has transformed. People resettled from displacement camps and rapid development followed. David continues his advocacy work, having traveled 116,000 miles to support defectors. Their story challenges everything we think we know about heroism. Sometimes, peace isn't about capturing monsters. It's about calling the lost ones home, one voice at a time.